We'll be reading from Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 16, and it can be found on page 977 of your church pew Bibles. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to man. In saying he ascended, what does this mean? But that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth. He who descended is the one who is also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Garrett. Well, welcome back, guys, to week two of our series, In Community. Don't worry if you weren't here last week. You can catch up online on the website for last week's talk if you like. We spent our time thinking about what it means to live in community with each other here at church. Particularly, we thought a bunch about why church is so important, right? Why gathering as a bunch of people who follow Jesus should be a priority for us. And this week, we're going to kind of talk about the next step. Now that we're living in community, what else happens? What else is important about that? And this is where our passage in Ephesians 4 comes in. Ephesians 4 is all about being God's people, the reality of our salvation, and how that plays out in the church. One of the key areas of this is our Christian growth and maturity in Christ. And so we're going to talk about that today. How about I start by quickly praying for us? Father God, we thank you for your word. We pray now that as we consider what it means for us to grow in community, that we would see the wonderful gifts that you have given your church, and we see how important it is that we can learn and benefit from one another here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, I've been thinking a bunch about you guys and what it kind of looks like, especially those of you who are super new to London, what it's like to find a new church. And it made me think about when I was 18, I moved to a new city, Canberra, the capital city, when I joined the army, and I was allowed to go off base for church. And so I went through a similar process as you guys, and I tried to find myself a church. Now, I went to this church that I'm not going to name because they're my brothers and I love them so much. But when I rocked up, the service was really great. I met this guy next to me. He was a really lovely dude. The service was good. The preaching was good. Kind of everything you're kind of looking for when you're hanging out in the service. And then the service came to an end and I turned to the guy next to me and he just said, "Oh, we've got a members dinner now. So, see you, man. Have a good night." And then him and everyone else from the church left and went to a dinner that I wasn't invited to. And I was kind of like, there's like kind of like a guy by the door who's like, "I'm like, want to lock up, man?" And I was like, "Oh, okay, no worries." So I left. I then went to a Bible study. You know, I wanted to give these guys a good crack. You know, they're good guys, good teaching. So I went to the Bible study. I went for 4 weeks, and every week there were different people there. I was the only person who was there every week, and that included the leaders. So I actually, my third week there, I actually led the group, which was quite weird when I was 18 and I just rocked up there. Now, I don't know about you, like, obviously it's a fun story, I survived, right, I still follow Jesus and love him, and I still love those guys really dearly, but I think we can all agree there's something not right about my experience of what occurred during those first few months of my time there. But I wonder if you can put your finger on it. I wonder if you can define for yourself why that isn't quite the right thing in ways other than just the human, well, it would have been nice to have made some friends a bit faster or to have not had the pressure of leading the study. Throughout his letters, Paul seems to be deeply concerned with the behavior of people in the church towards each other and how that's closely connected with their faith, with how they respond to the truth of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. I'm sure the guys who are doing 1 Corinthians in midweek are getting a really solid sense of that so far, right? How they act, how people in the church treat one another, that matters. Take a look at verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The call to follow Christ, right? It's a gift. It's not earned. We gain it through our faith, through our trust in Jesus. But then once we are there, once it's done, we are part of God's people, and that's not the end of it. Because then we become a part of a family, part of a family of fellow believers, and all of us look to Christ, desiring to live in response to the salvation that we have received, right? We're saved by our faith, but once we become Christians, we should be seeking to live as just that, as those who follow Christ, in gentleness, in humility with one another, seeking to walk in a manner worthy of the calling that we have received, bearing with one another. We had this last week, right, when I talked a bit about forgiveness. Paul seems to really get that church isn't necessarily a super easy thing to do and be a part of at times, but he desires for all to live together in unity. In the first half of Ephesians, he's described the multi-ethnic nature of the family of believers, of the salvation that comes from Jesus. Jew and Gentile, people from all nations coming together to gather as God's people. And now he talks about the unity that comes out of that. Verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. That as a community of believers, we may look really different from one another, but we are one. One community, one body under the same Lord. And so Paul is emphasizing that the salvation, well, it's open to all, right? Salvation is open to all types of people from all backgrounds. But then we become one body, united together because we are no longer defined by the differences that we have, but by the unity that is found through our belief in the Savior of the world. Now, part of this unity is living in gentleness and patience with one another. Which really kind of means accepting that people don't always behave how we want them to, and things don't always go our way at church too, right? Sometimes the activities or the socials that happen, they might be more suited to another type of person than they're suited to us. Or more importantly, you may find yourself talking to someone who you don't enjoy talking to, right? Maybe some fresh-faced 18-year-old Australian guy who's rocked up and is looking for friends. Maybe there's someone who they find it's a little bit more effort for you to talk to because they might not share the same interests that you have, or maybe they're completely new, so you don't really have any familiarity with them yet. But you see, the beauty of our salvation is that they are your brother and sister, and Paul calls us to patience and gentleness, to give up some of your precious time for them, because that's what we do. That in this body, we each have the same God, the same salvation, the same victory over death. And that means that you are far more united in a very real way to anyone amongst the gathering of believers than to some random person who has the same interests as you. The first thing we need to have understood tonight is that this concept of complete and perfect unity that we are all in. The next thing that we need to understand is that unity is not uniformity. verse 7. By grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. I don't know about you, but when I try and think of another group where we're all united, but we are all very much not the same, the first group of people that I will often think of is my family, particularly my close family. Actually, my grandparents are actually here tonight, sat up the front here. Luckily, then, they are not the butt of this illustration. But it's fine. My mum and dad and my sister are. No, really lovely people. But particularly, I would say the two who are most different amongst all of us are probably me and my mum, right? And so she's someone who, like, I love my mum to bits. She is the most wonderful woman in my life, aside from my wife, and someone who I go to for all things. But if we live together, one of us will die, right? It's just the way it is, right? We have these differences that lead us towards a certain clash. When I moved back from the army, I was still quite young. I was still like 20, 21. I didn't move into home. I actually lived out of home out of a desire to have the best relationship with my mum possible. And we do. Unity does not mean that we are exactly the same. Unity does not mean uniformity. According to the measure of Christ's gift means that people receive different things or different gifts. We are one, but yet we are not all the same. Because according to his will and his spirit, we have each been gifted in different ways. Within this body, we are individuals in our own right because we have different gifts. Different ways that we have been gifted to serve. The ways we've been equipped by God to serve his people. Something we'll talk about more next week, Kev will talk about more next week in Romans 12, so I won't rip him off too much. So you see, the pattern is, that we've seen so far in here, in Ephesians, is that different people from vastly different backgrounds come together, united by the one Lord in one body, and who within that one united body have different gifts, are different from one another. And this plays out in a few ways. But one of them is how we seek to grow as God's people. Verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. God's gifting of people seems to manifest in a number of different ways for different roles and responsibilities. But what is super clear from all of these roles that we see Paul talk about here is that the growing in our faith and the knowledge of the Son of God is one of the key purposes of God's outpouring of grace to people in his church. Part of walking in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called is growing in maturity in our faith. Developing in our behavior and in our knowledge, it's not an optional extra, it is simply what Christians do. God has given us a body of believers in unity to help us with this. Now, it's clear that there is a need for particular people with particular gifting to spend extra time training in order to fulfill this role for the church as teachers of the word, to spend time putting their gifts to work so that they can effectively support and lead God's people in this important task of growing in community. But the preacher and the teacher, well, it's not the only way that this happens. And another great example of this at Euston Church is our midweek leaders, who have a very real position that they're in for the purpose of helping us all grow in our faith. People who have had their gifts affirmed by the church for the purpose of building up the body. And I tell you what, those guys give up a huge amount of their time in doing so. It's a big responsibility, and they give up their time to be able to do it well. They attend leaders' studies on top of the study that they do with you guys. A bunch of them spend hours prepping. So make sure you give those guys love. Make sure you respond to their text messages. They put a lot of time in because they are participating in your growth, because they are committed to this central aim of what we do as God's people, of growing to maturity in our faith. But we don't just grow from preachers, and we don't just grow from our leaders, but from what Lynette really helpfully highlighted for us. We grow from each other too. As we gather in our groups, as we gather and engage in the work of God alongside brothers and sisters, as we hear them reflect on the word and speak into each other's lives, we grow in our knowledge of God. We learn to live our lives for God alongside one another. I regularly learn from someone in one of the studies that I'm in. It is a truly wonderful thing, because unity is not uniformity. God's people growing together because each of us has something to gain from the work of one another. From the way that God is working in someone else's life and hearing about that and engaging with them and them engaging with you. Being together is so important as we live in light of the gospel, because we have so much to gain from each other. And that is why it's so important that we gather together. That's so important that on those nights when we feel tired or it's cold outside, I tell you what, it's so cold right at the moment. Oh, man, it's like the coldest it gets in Australia is 15 degrees. It's, I mean, Singaporeans as well, you guys are probably crying. I mean, most people here are from the tropics, right? But in the face of the cold, in the face of our tiredness, well, I think, you know what? I'd really love for that person to be there when I'm there. And actually, they probably want you to be there too. We go not just for ourselves, but we go for each other. Because I grow because of what I hear from them, and they grow because of what they hear from me, as hard as that might be to believe. This is all so important, because growing and maturing in your faith, well, in the end of the day, it's going to make you more self-dependent as you look forward to what it's going to look like after university. It prepares you for a future when faith may not be as comfortable as when you have a gathering like this, or you are under more pressure from work to miss commitments to gathering with God's people. When you're mature in what you believe, though, you can stand on the solid ground that you have, no longer tossed as children to and fro by the waves, but solid, mature Christian people who stand for what they believe, who know what they believe, and are committed to the gospel and making decisions for him. So you won't be taken off guard by and distracted by false teachers. You won't be able to enter into the workplace. You'll be able to enter into the workplace knowing that you find your identity in Christ and not in your work. You won't be tossed aside, forced to behave like everyone else. And of course, it means that once you leave this area, if you leave London, then wherever you are, you will seek out that gathering of believers in your life, because you know how important it is, and because of the maturity that you have grown to. Growing in community is at the center of what church is. Verse 15, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We need each other if we are going to grow to fullness in Christ. It's God's plan that this is how he goes about growing his people and them living together. That we would be the various parts of the body towards the head that is Christ, joined together so that it supports and builds itself up. I said this last week, but when you put in the effort to make sure you're at church and in midweek, then once again, other people benefit from that, from this inter-supportive body. Fellowship is mutually beneficial, where we each gain growth from the contributing gifts and the contributing insights that come from each of us by the Spirit. But there is another element to this that I think is super helpful, that's highlighted by Paul in verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, and into Christ. There's a couple of guys in my life that I'm really pleased to have, who regularly speak the truth in love to me, sometimes a little bit more skewed towards the truth side, I find. But a playful example would be, at the moment, this is how I'm doing it for my friend John. He's planning his proposal, so hopefully Robin doesn't listen to this podcast. And basically, he came to me and said, "Tom, here's my plan. Picnic in a place called Watson's Bay in Sydney." I was like, "Golden, beautiful, so good." And he's like, "Yeah. And then I'm going to get my friend Tice to bring in the ring on his drone." I was like, "John, that's for you. That's not for Robin. She's not going to like that. She's going to think it's silly. Don't make a joke out of your proposal." And he's like, "Oh, I thought it was the most genius idea ever." Right? Sometimes you just need a friend who knows you and has a different perspective to give you a little bit of insight to help you do things a little bit better. Sometimes we get off track, right? Sometimes we lose sight of the kingdom and the community as other shiny objects in the world distract us. Sometimes we are children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Sometimes we set our minds on the earthly things that were talked about in Colossians 3 last week, and we need someone to point that out to us. But one of the immense blessings of being in a community of believers who are united with you is that there are people who genuinely love and care for you. And so they can step up and be the person to chat to you about it. We often use the word rebuke to describe this, but what it really is it's just someone who really cares about you, helping you stay on track. I like to think of it as, imagine we're stood in a big circle, all of us, around Christ. And every once in a while, each of us, we kind of get a little bit distracted, right? And we start to turn away. And it's just the person next to us just gives us that little nudge and turns us back in. Speaking the truth in love means the light nudge back in. And this is something that a community of believers should be doing for each other, and not waiting until someone has already turned all the way around to try and kind of yank them back in, because I've found it's pretty hard by that point. It's a lot easier and it's a lot nicer for everyone if we always continue to nudge each other back towards Jesus by speaking his truth in love to each other. And that is one of the big ways that community growth happens. It's one of the big ways that we express our love for one another, and it's one of the big ways that you cannot be cared for if you are not present for it. We need a community like this because all of us have that tendency to start to turn away, and our brother or sister can help keep us on track. You see, we need what we can get from teachers, from volunteer leaders, and from each other. God at work amongst his people. Can you see that the body of believers in unity, as it's made up of differently gifted people, is what we need so badly to grow in our faith? And so the question is, if you're not going to midweek, if you're not gathering with God's people to grow in maturity in Christ, what are you doing? How are you going to ensure you set up the habits now that will allow you to focus on what matters most, to allow you to focus on what is going to help you grow? It's hard. Lynette said it was hard, right? It is hard. But this community matters because of all these things. This community matters because it is hard. We need one another for life, as we heard last week from Colossians. But we also need one another for growth and support to Christian maturity. It does not make sense to be part of a church and not to take the opportunities that there are to invest in your Christian maturity. And this is exactly why midweek is at the center of what we do here at Euston. Because as a gathering of believers here at Euston Church, here at 5 p.m., we are committed to growing in community. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for everything that it gives us. We pray that you would help us to really take on board what your word has to say, to seek out opportunities to grow in our faith in this body of believers. We thank you so much that we are in unity, but we're different. And we pray that we would take every opportunity to grow towards godliness, to grow in our knowledge of you, so that we will no longer be infants tossed to and fro. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.